All right, so today I have the proud opportunity to introduce Mr. Adrian Kamabach, chef extraordinaire, and I am Kimberly King, and we will be talking about the Open for Business mini-series where entrepreneurs get to share their stories as it pertains to the impacts of COVID-19, what they've learned, and how they've managed as their businesses reopen. So I want to give a very warm welcome to my brother from BIM, Cheese on Bread.
Good afternoon, Kimberly. Good evening. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I want to thank you for having me in this discussion today. Great. Long time.
Very long time.
Yes. How have you been?
I'm all right, you know, just trying to, I guess, just weather the storm and learn through it and just push through it as well. I guess as many entrepreneurs as we are trying to make sense of all of this craziness. But I have been good. I've been good.
Nice.
So great. So Adrian, tell us about, well, just to give you all some background, I met Adrian probably about 5 years ago when I worked in event sales at one of the leading properties, hotels here in Trinidad. And Adrian really did bless us with his food. I must say he's one of the few gifted chefs that have come across, and it really was a great opportunity working with him and seeing what he did in terms of the team there at that particular property. But now he's on to even greater things. And what I want to hear from you, Adrian, is tell us about the entrepreneurial journey and why you really decided to start Cook Caribbean Inc. Tell us about that.
Kimberly, first thing, I think it's more than 5 years, actually, well, 7 years.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Well, 7 years that we know each other, you know. But the entrepreneurial journey, I decided to took up the journey in 2016 after we were in Miami. Competed, like, how can I get our Caribbean cuisine, our Caribbean food to the people of the world? So I was, in my mind, I was thinking I need to create something that resonates in people's minds. Especially the youth of our countries, of our islands, sorry. So that's where I came up with the name Cook Caribbean. I established it in 6 months after, in December 2016. So that journey was putting together, working on, it took me about 2-3 months to got my mission ready and my vision too for the company. The business plans, I did not really set too much business plans. I worked with my talent. They have a saying that we have a saying here, your network is your net worth. So my network, I started to contact my network. I'm doing this thing privately, I'm doing functions, I'm doing weddings. At first it was difficult in the beginning, because then I had to do everything myself in the business. I was the marketer, the janitor, the chef, everybody had many arms trying to build the foundation for the company.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So yes, I mean, you said something. What was that saying? Your neck worth is your net worth. That's what it is.
Yeah, your net work is your net worth. So who you know, it tells you you can work along in terms of, because what I got to understand and meet a lot of prominent people in persons in Trinidad and Tobago, and I usually take the best from people. So I might look upon, we're talking or meet someone, I don't judge them, but I look for the good in them. And look for what they're doing, especially if it's building a future. See what they're doing, the formulas, what they're, you know. So, like, your network. So, in my arena, let's say that I was in the culinary world, with the culinary team as the captain, I started to use my network there. I was once, I think I'm still a bit, but once kind of shy of my achievements. I never really understood where my achievements have brought me. And I introduced a business mentor that keeps, because as a person, you need somebody to talk to, somebody to keep pushing. A lot of people look up to me, but I myself was seeing myself far behind in my career. Like, but then it so happened with my business that every month, once a month, I calculated to get this going. I'm not going to push too much, but I'm going to get at least one function that will probably about 40-something, 30-something, $1,000 TT. If I get that, I'd be able to pay my bills and survive for next month. And then I build like that. I had sometimes 2-3 months, you do work, but there's no income. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you when you network with the government, then you got to wait a little longer to get paid for the government. So, but you do smaller functions, I did smaller stuff, I did things that weren't even relevant to the kitchen. But once the finances came in, then I put that towards what my future would like, branding and executing and social media and pushing, and then you get a next function, then you get a next function, and so forth in the beginning of the building the business.
That's awesome what you're saying, Adrian. And I think that's what a lot of entrepreneurs, they miss, in that you have to be able to start. And you also have to be able to understand that you might just need a mentor, especially when you're starting and you don't know anything beyond that. So that's a great nugget there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So the mentor for me, my mentor is, even up to this day, he's in Barbados, and up to this day, he will come. If he see me, like the other day, he came to me and told me I'm not pushing enough on social media for my sushi and Pretty Smart. So and that's all he says. You know, like, Adrian, you know, you need to push this. Okay, cool. All right. Try this. And it doesn't have to be an everyday talk, but I know that when we meet up or I see him or I feel that way, go to him, I get that energy. Like, okay, yeah, that's what was missing for real. Like, through COVID, we had a lot of time through COVID as we are going to discuss shortly. We had a lot of time through COVID to push our business and brainstorm and how the world works off of the economy and how people think and how people react, and sitting down analyzing before even, okay, Adrian, let's move back to Barbados. So I'm going to take you back. So let's move back to Barbados in 2008. I had a stint in Grenada. And then I get the opportunity to move back to Barbados. And I was like, what am I going to do? And the agent, okay, you need to open up your own studio for television. You like production, because our mission at Cook Caribbean is to educate first, entertain, and then elevate the Caribbean cuisine. So education, cooking school, I need to build a kitchen to handle that. Let's do my summer cooking camps for kids. Then a business opportunity came in with a Price Smart, with a sushi. At first, we were like iffy. We were judgmental behind it because we didn't know the price point. We were into like manufacturing. Then we were like, you know what? That is some income there that can help build the future for the education part of it. So, okay, we're going to get that up and running. We got it up and running. And then the summer camp was first, then a year passed. Then sushi started October 2019. I had my second summer camp, which was my first year, we had 12 students. My second year, we had 42. So we know we were going in the right direction. This year, our third year, we actually had 89 registered before COVID.
Wow.
89 registered before. I was like, we were thinking, we don't have no more space to put these children when they come for camp. But we break it down in months. So let's do July and August, because I have nothing else really doing for the summer. Mm-hmm. If I have a wedding, it's going to be on Saturday. So we schedule out our work. Then I hired a manager to put now the formalities in place in terms of paperwork. in terms of the emails, in terms of the calls, in terms of, so it built that structure one. Then with the Price Smart, I hired
right.
four.
Don't go any further because you've said so many things that is important right there. Yeah. No. I mean, in terms of what you're saying, it's a lot of nuggets. So just for persons to really compress that information, you said, you know, I like what you said that ideally in terms of the mission was to educate, entertain, and elevate. So what you were looking for is definitely as it pertains to having a space where you can have persons come in and really see that production, but you yeah. also saw the need as that you started to grow that you needed to bring someone in to give structure to the business, which is something that a lot of entrepreneurs also sort of grapple with because they don't know, it becomes overwhelming because as you said, you were doing everything on your own, but they need to be able to identify, well, you know what, I do need the help. So that's some great nuggets there. Perfect. And what I'm going to do now, Adrian, is really fast forward to, let's say, November, December last year. You spoke about having the kids camp, that you saw the numbers exponentially grow over the last 2 years. But what really were your goals or your vision, what you were planning to manifest in 2020?
My goals for 2020... for the camp itself, right, Kim, we did with the camp or with Cook Caribbean in general?
Cook Caribbean in general, which includes the camp.
Mm-hmm. Okay. When, so 2019, before October, November, we had a plan that, okay, we're going to do the summer camp. We work on a brand ambassadorship, which helps propel your name out there. You work with a, work along with a big brand, your network. We're going to align ourselves with the network. We align ourselves with Sushi. So for 2020, we had a vision of that, okay, the summer camp is going to be much bigger. We're going to do 3 camps this year. Actually, we were supposed to go to St. Lucia in March to do a camp in St. Lucia for the Easter holidays, March, April. The Sushi, we're looking to expand that business as well for 2020. September, October, we were looking to actually now shoot to start to release our cookbook in our fifth year, going into our fifth year. So we would have gotten, this year would be 4 years, we would have gotten the cookbook out in terms of production, make the links of publication, get it ready, and then distribute in 2021 for our fifth year anniversary. So that was our whole goal because we were actually now going to tour the Caribbean. We have weekends planned to do various shoots and films in St. Lucia, in Grenada, in Antigua, in Jamaica. We had all those things, New York, Los Angeles. We had everything planned out that we would, one, make a documentary film, network that too as well for television networks, because my ultimate goal for the company is to have a show either on UK BBC Food or on Food Network America. We're leaning more towards the UK market because that's where 90% of Bajans, our guests, our tourists come from. You know, they could see the cuisine, the Caribbean, the food, the culture. So our vision for 2020 was big. And ready to execute. Our first documentary was in Trinidad and Tobago for Carnival 2020, sorry. Mm-hmm. We actually got that one out. We went on the Carony River. We went fishing. Even Narrows, and then we do the Juve, we documented that. So that was the first plan, and then everything just happened to stop right there with COVID.
Right. I understand, and as you said, you are dreaming big. I mean, UK BBC, that's some great stuff, but I can see in terms of how you are aligning those goals really to the name of Cook Caribbean, you know, going to the different islands, featuring the food. And, you know, I know also that you do an excellent spin on island food. So that's awesome. But Adrian, also tell me, as you've now entered, well, back then, say around March, when Barbados entered into the quarantine period, and you sort of worked your way through it, you know, what were the lessons for you going through that period?
First thing that I said was, okay, Adrian, you're getting some time to relax, to rest a little bit. Because every single day I was going for the last year and a half, 2 years. When that happened and I watched the pandemic, I watched the news, I didn't read up on too much people's comments. I just kept a close eye on it, watched what's happening. Okay, Adrian. About April, May, when it was all like, you know, reached that settling ground, like, okay, this is happening in the world right now, we understand it. We sat as a group and we were like thinking like, okay, people watching the comments on Facebook and the posts, we do a lot of research, they want something to eat. They were craving the Chefette, they were craving the KFC, the people starting to, I didn't realize that happened to the Caribbean, you know? I'm fed up cooking, I'm tired of cooking, because we understand too as well in the food industry that people, some working class, or majority of the working class doesn't have the time to cook when they finish work. So we cater for that niche in that market. So when COVID happened, okay, let's give them a meal. So we treated our kitchen in terms of a menu, we did like a function. So, okay, Jerk Wednesdays. Let's do this for a couple of weeks. We're not doing this every single day. We're not committed to doing jerk, but this is something that our clientele could have. We can still get income coming in. And let's do breakfast bowls on Fridays. It's something that Beijing could resonate to.
Which I love.
Thank you very much. Beijing could resonate to, everybody could resonate to them. And you know what? I could afford to spend $25 for one of these. I'm missing out on this. So we were still trying to tap in to keep cash rotating in the company, so that we knew that it had to end, that the country had to open back at some point, very soon and very quickly too, no many pandemic. We still had to, we knew that, and then price mark would have started back, whereas we would have been a little lower in cash because of the unexpectancies. And what we did there is, okay, we start back slow in price mark. My main goal was to ensure that all of my staff secure a job back, and which I have done that too as well. You know, they are 4 days now a week working, but I had to ensure that my commitment to my employees were that we're going to employ everybody back. So we just kept on the load, make sure we are sanitary. We got permission from the government to start back the classes with the Barbados Youth Advanced Corps, or BIMAP, with 20 students. We ensured that, we know, we just added back a little bit. After COVID, now we realized that shoppers or customers have now a more appreciative side of, let's say, I don't want to say life, but in terms of food. You can see the difference, you know, like they're willing to know, embrace it a little more right now.
Oh, so that's interesting. Because what you've just basically said was that during the quarantine, you had to pivot where you were offering like themed days of the weeks, where you did like a fixed menu for each day of the week. Yeah. And you kept it at like a base pricing so that persons who really did not have the time to cook, especially professionals, working class, on the go, they can still reach out, connect, and grab one of your meals, whether it's juice, yes, breadfruit, etc., which was a very good idea, because as you said, it guaranteed that you still had cash flow
coming in.
Yeah. And perfect, so great. And so tell me then, what do you think now, post-quarantine, we still managing with COVID-19, but in terms of the Caribbean, Barbados, Trinidad and Tobago, rest of the Caribbean, our numbers, our incidence, it's quite low, which is great for us. So yes. What did you have to unlearn? What did you learn, let's say, 7 years ago, that when COVID came and during the quarantine period, that you had to unlearn or you were forced to change?
So funny enough, today I was in the supermarket and I'm watching, I usually observe. I have a thing where I observe surroundings, observe, especially, I'm a chef, so by nature, we are supposed to be 150% always sanitized and clean at always. The difference is for us right now is a mask, right? the addition of a mask. So for me, it wasn't difficult in terms of the transition that, oh, I always got to remember to wash my hands because that's what I am accustomed to all the time. You know, you're serving food for people, mm-hmm. you got to keep your hands clean. Always keep your hands sanitized. If you go outside, you come back, you wash your hands and stuff like that. And for me today, I was thinking, if the world simply had a mask and hand sanitizer implemented years ago, they would have not have so much diseases and things spreading, common colds and all these different bacteria spreading throughout the, you're gonna find out the number of food poisoning drop or cross contamination drop because everywhere you go before you enter everybody, you're ensuring that everybody's hands is being sanitized and kept clean all the time, you know, before you enter or touch up things like that. So the transition was difficult. For me, just more conscious. I usually shop certain times, I usually be first in the supermarket on the mornings as 8 o'clock. That's my time adjustments. When I had the alphabetical order in place, again, your net worth is your net worth. I know a lot of people, like the managers, stuff like that. So I never really had to wait in line because of the network. Like, I'm coming this evening. Yeah, okay, come, chef. And I go in, get my stuff quickly. Mm-hmm. Five to 10 minutes, I'm out in the supermarket. I'm not lagging around. I don't go to bars. I don't go to restaurants. I don't feel comfortable with that as yet because, again, the glassware and the, I don't know if the training has been developed, whereas now that the restaurants and the smaller food establishments understand the water temperatures or the sanitation practices for washing dishes, and you know, because before cool, I have been to some bars where they only wash it quickly there by the sink with a little cool water, a little squeeze there on the lip, in the glass, and they give you a glass back because they're so busy. Right, so like even if I pass, I have something to let's say to drink one in a plastic cup. So I changing up my personal aspect of it and my team too as well. I got PriceSmart to give us a secured enclosed environment because we were rolling live in the store. So I wanted that same element, but my staff now I'm teaching them. Grown guerrilla marketing, whereas they stay in front of the sushi station now after them rolling about and sell. You could still be in communication and sell, give them a flyer. Let's push the sushi from a different angle. So we look at what is happening and then we try to counteract it. Okay, we can still do this. We are still allowed to have 20 students in our classes. We are still allowed to, so we go with what is allowed and try to stay within the laws of the Czar in Barbados and Ministry of Health.
Right, awesome. So definitely in terms of the biggest change for you is really, you, as you said, you already, you know, was quite following the rules as it pertains to safety and sanitation, but it just elevated it a little more for your business as well, which is quite good. So great. So in closing now, if you were to give advice to a startup business, especially let's say a catering business or someone who is looking up at you or listening to this, what sort of advice would you be giving them at this time?
At this time, you have to, one, set your goal. Reset your goals. Sorry, let me say that again, because some persons may have the goals set for 2020. The COVID happened and then it's all like jumbled up. But you have to reset your goal. You have to look at the market. Okay, what can I do to make money? One, you're not going to make as the amount of money like before. you have to settle now with the market price, or okay, I can't survive on this. I set myself, I readjusted my bills, I look at it, okay, I need to make X amount of dollars per month. Okay, how much money do I need to make per day in order to survive? So if I need to make $300 a day and I'm selling a product at $20, well, I know that I need to sell at least 15 to make 15 or more to make that $300 per day, or 30 just to double it for expenses. So you look at what you want to target per day. Take each item per day going forward in terms of your execution. For the catering business, a lot of people are not really going to get married now in 2020. Most weddings get pushed back to 2021. So I will start to ask you to look at that market for 2021, because it's going to be back to back to back to back to back. Functions, again, they're not going to be, they're not going to be big meetings and people gathering again. So you got to restructure. Okay, I have to sell individually now, or try to commit to a company. Okay, I could provide a safe, secure lunch for your staff at this price every single day. So you have to sit down and really find 20 ways to see how you can make money, and then just choose one and go at it all the time. Just in case, you may choose three. If one don't work, you fall back on two, you fall back on three, because the life is like a tide. It's high and it's low. And that happens every single day in life, you know? So you have to adjust to the rising or the lowering tides. And the main key is never give up. Keep pushing. Sometimes you run a business on zero or minus zero. Mm-hmm. But when you are in front in social media or you're posting it, you got to post that energy that you are on top of your game. You're not bragging or boasting, but you have to put that energy. It's like the music industry. When an artist records his song and him and the director is the only person that hears the song, the energy that they put into that song, you think that is already a big hit on the Savannah. So you have to learn that in Trinidad and Tobago too, as well, at some culinary, at some music studios. I'm watching the guys perform, the energy is be like, yeah, this is a big one. And then when it really hits on the market, it's a big one. You can still feel that energy resonates. And one thing that I saw to these guys from Trinidad, Full Blown Entertainment, who wrote Marshall's song Epic. Two young boys who wrote Marshall's song, and the energy they put behind, if we listen to it now, I still feel it from that time when I saw it being done. Like, okay, wow, you know, like, so if I'm doing a video for my morning barbecue show, or I'm doing it for Roma, I'm in my office, I'm jumping, I'm pushing, I'm making myself the video, just giving it that energy. So you always have to give your work that energy. If you sulk on it and send it out, it's gonna feel that the world is gonna receive it. Because we live off of energy, the world's gonna receive it. But once you're proud of what you're doing, it's great content, you're fulfilling your mission, just keep going and just keep going. Don't ever stop. Because the day you stop is the day that everything else stops coming for you.
And that's awesome. So Adrian, yet again, just to talk about the nuggets that you just left us with. I mean, target per day, that is definitely a sales and an entrepreneurial mindset. You know, look at your target that you need to achieve for the day. Look at opportunities and revenue streams from every single direction. You know, consider three of them, because the reality is, with the environment that we're in right now, one may fall short. That's just the guessing game sometimes that you have to play. But it's really in that mindset of looking and planning ahead. 2021, especially for the type of industry that you're in, it means that persons are going to doing a lot of postponements at that time. So you should be seeking out opportunities as well. And last but not least, bring the energy. You're so right, because even for my business, when I'm doing content, I'm like, I hate video, but I need to bring the energy, or else it's going to transfer across as, okay, you know, I'm sulking, or as, you know, in local slang, we say you popping down, you know? So you have to bring the energy. You have to have that passion and that enthusiasm for what you're doing at full 100. So great. So great, we just on the button, Adrian. So
yes, please.
Lovely. So I just want to close by saying thank you. Everyone, be sure to check out Adrian Cumberbatch at Cook Caribbean Inc. He is on Instagram. He's on Facebook.
Yes. Yep. Right. Facebook, Instagram. And also Adrian Cumberbatch on Facebook too as well if they want to. I usually post all everything.
Yes.
But I'm extremely happy to have this conversation with you, Kimberly. We have work. That same exact work ethic we had at the Hyatt, whereas that you get the client, call the chef in, especially for big meetings, call the chef in. We look at the menus, we look at the security, we look at the... I took that, everything that I have learned there and resonated that in my business because it operates the same as that. Once you have everything that Kimberly, you taught me, make sure your paperwork is going through your bills from top to bottom. That same exact thing is what I'm doing to my business. And wow. And in terms of meetings, when we meet, when we discuss, so I'm running it alongside the same format like Hyatt. Mm-hmm. I'm treating each customer the same way too as well. You know, if I have an issue, if I have a problem, we sit, we discuss it, we look at the comments, we try to see where we could please that guest. Whether we give a platter of sushi, whether we contact them by phone, whether, you know, try to treat the clients, try to treat people equally, try to treat my staff equally. So the same exact formula that we did, that you and I used to work at the Hyatt, with functions and banquets, the same. I'm always trying to be 4 or 5 days ahead in preparation, always. Mm-hmm. And that is what a next example for me that has been working. So, yeah. Yes.
I'm really happy to hear that, Adrian.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very, very much.
I'm happy to hear that. Oh, that was a good one for me. Thank you for that. And everyone, thank you for listening. Be sure to continue listening to more of Open for Business mini-series, where we have conversations like these with entrepreneurs right here on Consulting Services by King & Associates Limited. Be sure to listen up for more. I am Kimberly King, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Be safe, everyone.
Take care.